Hello and welcome back to the Nerd Podcast. If you're joining us for the first time, that's Never Ending Retro Dialogue. I'm Jordan.
I'm Doug.
And today we'll be talking about, again, indie comics.
Well, people don't know what happened.
Right, I'm about to explain.
Oh, okay.
Sorry. We recorded this episode some time ago, and because our backlog of episodes is so, big, I finally went to edit it, and the sound was all messed up. I don't know how to describe it, but it
wonky?
Was... Yeah, it wasn't conducive to a podcast of our stature.
We've got quality standards here.
Yeah, we have a quality control department that would have shot it down anyway.
Yeah, so. Exactly. It wouldn't have made the cut. No. So here we are.
So we're going to re-discuss indie comics, and I'll have to listen. I'm curious. Once we put this one out, it'll be interesting to listen to the other one unedited and see how different they are, because I don't remember a single thing I talked about.
No, I don't either. I had to grab my notebook so I could look at the notes because I had made a list of different independent publishers,
yeah,
and titles that I thought were worth mentioning. From those.
Yeah.
So, obviously I made these notes, last year.
Yeah.
So there may be new ones on there.
Right.
Off the top of my head, we talked about in one of the end of the month, stories, I read that Serial.
Yes.
From Scout Comics, I think.
That sounds right.
So that was a blast, and that obviously was an indie, and sitting downstairs, I have Survival Street.
Right.
That is a, I think that's Scout Comics, too. I don't know. I'll have to look at that one. Don't quote me. But it's a spoof on Sesame Street, and it's like in a post-apocalyptic world. Yeah. So.
That's pretty interesting.
So, yeah. So. Now that I'm looking at it, is From Hell considered an indie title?
Yeah, I would say anything outside the big two is indie.
Yeah.
And From Hell is, I don't remember who publishes From Hell. It might be Knockabout Press or I think it's Top Shelf. And they might be independent just for the sheer fact that they're British, I think. So.
Yeah. Yeah,
I think whoever published it was British. I don't know.
Because I definitely don't have that in my notes from last time. Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. I gotta believe, just from my notes, maybe my portion will be close to the same.
Yeah.
But only because I'm cheating. So.
Well, I'm gonna step back for a second and say, when I say the big two, in case you're not familiar with it, that's Marvel and DC.
Yep.
They're the big two publishers here in America. I don't know how it works in the other part of the world, so... I should, actually, because I read a lot about comics from different parts of the world, but I don't know how their industries work. So, when we are here in America talking, we mean Marvel and DC. And pretty much anything outside there is a third-party independent company, because Marvel and DC pretty much rule the roost, I guess.
I'd say so, although I think, especially after we talk today, an argument can be made that these independent houses are putting out much better product because they don't confine themselves to the heroes in tights, and and sometimes they're a little bit more adult in theme, or they can push some boundaries,
right,
whereas DC and Marvel kind of have to keep it,
yeah,
they can only go so far.
Yeah, I would say the mainstream market is definitely mostly superheroes still, because that's what comic books are kind of known for.
Sure.
But yeah, the independent stuff really does go and tell stories that you can't necessarily get away with on, think of it as radio, I guess. And you're going to have your pop hits and your mainstream stuff, and then, well, maybe radio is not a good example, because you're not really going to hear much outside of that on the radio.
Well, you get the underground channels, right? They would play the alt stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah. I don't know. It's, but yes, they're just, they they push the envelope.
Yeah.
As many of these things that we'll discuss.
Yeah. And I think a big I think a big reason, and we'll talk about this, but I'm just going to go ahead and start saying it. I think a big reason is because so much of it is creator-owned.
Yes, correct.
Whereas the other stuff, like, nobody owns Superman but DC Comics. Like, there's not a person, I mean, there are people who created Superman, and their families are,
benefiting from the use of him, yes.
But there is nobody who's going to be like, oh, I own Superman, so I can do whatever I want with him. Whereas, I don't know, Spawn is clearly, Todd McFarlane. So,
yeah,
so I think that the self-owned stuff is able to go a little further because it's like, well, I can do whatever I want with this character.
Yep.
Within the reason, I can't, there are still publishers that are going to tell you you can't do certain things, but yeah. I don't know. That's probably a big, big difference.
Now, we probably should point out that throughout their existence, DC and Marvel both have tried having separate labels to do more modern things.
True.
Marvel did Marvel Max.
Right.
What was that, in the 90s?
I think that was maybe the early 2000s. Yeah. Maybe the late 90s, early 2000s.
Where they were a little bit more...
Mature.
That's
probably, I would say, the most famous thing that came out of that was Punisher Max.
Yes. Yeah.
By Garth Ennis. And then obviously DC had Vertigo, which I miss Vertigo.
Vertigo was great.
Vertigo had some of the real, real weird 90s stuff, like... Yeah. Doom Patrol and Swamp Thing. Well, they were still under DC, but they got moved to Vertigo.
Yeah. And they were a little bit more
mature. And they were mature, yeah.
Now, DC is doing, what's it called, Black Label now.
Is it still around, though?
It is still around because one of the Batman books that I'm getting is still under the DC Black Label.
Okay.
And Jeff Lemire did a Swamp Thing story under the Black Label. So it's, again, a little bit more... more mature, and the books are in a different format. They're a little bit bigger, almost like a Savage sort of Conan magazine type book. So I mean, they do have that, and they push out some interesting stories, some better than others. But yeah, I mean, they're still not doing what some of these other titles are doing.
Yeah, Vertigo was really, I think, ahead of its time, and Vertigo also published Fables, if you're familiar with Fables. Mm-hmm. And so there was some really, really good stuff on Vertigo. And, I think they saw what was going to happen, what was happening in the 90s, and kind of said, the way to compete with that is to form this, like, alternative sort of imprint within the company.
Mm-hmm. Was Preacher on Vertigo?
Yes, Preacher was on Vertigo. Preacher was on Vertigo,
So it's, which... Great story. Oh my gosh.
One of the greats, honestly.
I'm trying to think if... Well, I don't have that written down because we're not going to talk about Vertigo.
No.
Because DC owned it. And that would be going against what this point of this episode is.
Yeah, I've already gushed about Vertigo enough. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. So, I don't know where we want to go with this. So, I'm just going to start reading some of my notes. I had written down different... indie publishers.
Okay.
I wanted to do this one first because I remember it when they were first around, and I still find their comics when I hit, and that's Malibu.
Right. You find them pretty frequently still, I think.
Yes.
Yeah. I never collected any Malibu. I don't really know much about Malibu, but...
Well, Malibu, of course, they their big thing was the Ultraverse, is what they did, and they had different... they did the superheroes too. Now, again, they were trying to be a little bit more edgy and whatnot. But so you had Nightman, which, if I remember correctly, there was a Nightman TV show on, it wouldn't have been the CW, maybe the
WB.
The WB. I'm going to have to look that up. I probably should have, since I have that written down. But I'm pretty sure there was a Nightman show. And I remember distinctly being disappointed because I thought it was Nightwing.
Oh.
and then watching it going, what the heck is this? So they also had a character named Sludge. My favorite character from the Malibu universe is Gravestone.
Ooh.
he started in Phantom of the Fair, or actually, so Gravestone was a, I think they took him from the public domain, and he actually was from the Phantom of the Fair storyline, and they kind of tweaked it, and they turned him out. So, yeah, I enjoy Gravestone. I've got several issues of his in my collection. Malibu also did Alien Nation, which is a great 80s sci-fi movie.
Yeah,
and then
yeah,
there was a TV show.
Yeah.
One that you would probably dig is there's one called Dinosaurs for Hire. They're literally like the A-Team, but they're a bunch of dinosaurs.
Oh my god, how did that ever go out of business?
And at one point, I'm pretty sure, and I'm sure someone who's got a little bit more historical knowledge than me, because I was just going off of memory when I was making these notes, and I wasn't a good researcher, but I'm pretty sure that at one point Malibu did a crossover with Marvel, so the characters interacted with ones that were similar. Like, I'm pretty sure there's like a Sludge and a Hulk crossover. I bet, you know what, who would know? Michael Nino.
Michael Nino, yeah.
Michael Nino would know, so we'll have to ask him.
Yeah.
But yeah, another small one is Alterna Comics.
And that's modern.
That's modern. They're still around. They're still putting stuff out. I have three notes for them.
Okay.
And I own all three of these, and that's why they're in my notes. Mother Russia was a three or four issue miniseries, and it's about a woman soldier in Russia during, I believe, World War II. But then she's fighting vampires, and she's got a child, so she's trying to keep her child safe too. That was really good. Oh no, zombies! World War II zombies. Sorry, not vampires.
Classic mistake.
I gotta read my notes. Well, you know, zombies and vampires are close, right?
Yeah, they're.
Boy, that could start a whole argument.
Oh yeah.
It came out one Wednesday, which I don't remember a darn thing about, so we'll skip that. And then Go West, by Garrett Gunn. That was a cool little two or three issue miniseries. It's a Western, so you know. I love that.
Yeah.
That's about all I can remember. It was a revenge story. You know, I just liked it. The art was really enjoyable. But here's the big one, right? These are ones that most people who know comics would know. Image. We got to spend some time on Image, right?
Yes.
So, was that started by Todd McFarlane,
or was it started by... He was one of them. It was like, there were like seven of them, I think.
Okay, yeah.
The Image, there were a handful of them, and they broke away from Marvel, because they were working as Marvel artists, and they broke away from Marvel and formed their own Image universe.
Mm-hmm.
And Image is probably the most famous indie company.
I would say that that is a fair...
Because they started in 1992?
Yes, because they just celebrated their 30th anniversary.
Yeah.
Not long ago.
Yeah, I think they started in 92. And they started with their creator-owned series, because it was like Todd McFarlane, Rob Liefeld, Wills Pistachio, and maybe four of the dudes. I can't really remember all. I don't remember all of them. I should have looked that up, but I didn't. So, yeah, and they started with their own universe, and now Image is huge. Image publishes a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Image published one of my favorite comics of all time, which is Chew, which I think we've probably talked about before, but Chew is a very interesting, fun comic about a psychic detective,
mm-hmm.
kind of, who gets his powers from when he eats stuff. Yeah, so Chew, but Image can do some really fun things because they're creator-owned and they're so big and they have the money now. I don't read a lot of Image, but I've read quite a bit of Spawn, and I've read Chew. Spawn is good. That look.
Sure.
I like Spawn. It's the early stuff is very...
The early stuff. I have not read a Spawn comic in years. When it first came out, loved it. Because it was just, you know, edgy and it was different. And, yeah, it may still be good. I don't know. So I'm the wrong person to ask. I don't hate Spawn. I couldn't give an honest assessment of it anymore.
Well, the early stuff I read, I started reading Spawn like 4 years ago, 5 years ago. Like, seriously reading Spawn, and the early stuff is very 90s. But, yes.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's so much fun to look at. Yes. Like, oh my gosh.
I mean, you know you're looking at Todd McFarlane stuff. Yeah. I mean, and for anyone who doesn't know, I mean, I know you mentioned that he was an artist for Marvel. I mean, he did some iconic Spider-Man covers. Yeah. I mean, those things still, when people see them, go crazy for them.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's Spawn. What would you think? So, I mean, Spawn, obviously, would you still say that is like the center point of Image? That's what everyone thinks of when they think of Image?
I don't know anymore, because there's so much stuff that Image... I think stuff like... Don't they publish...
I got a list of things they publish.
Yeah, but the famous one that I'm thinking of, I can't think of the name of it now.
Uh-oh.
The Brian K. Vaughan one that everybody loves. Don't they publish that one? Saga?
Yes.
Okay.
That's the first one I have. Okay. Yeah.
I would think stuff like more modern stuff is going to be where people go to now.
Probably. I mean, I would agree. I don't know where, again.
They have so much stuff now, I don't know what the...
I would say Saga's probably, like, the pinnacle.
Yeah.
They also have one that I know we've talked about on other episodes. God Hates Astronauts was Image. God,
I love that book. That book has made me laugh so hard.
It is great. They've just done. I only listed like 9.
Yeah,
and I tried to do some older and I tried to do some newer. Chew was on here.
Yeah.
Crossover, which was Chip Zdarsky, I believe. Oh God, I should have written that down. It's been a while. I own Crossover, but it was about, and he used a lot of public domain characters and a lot of Image characters. And it's a superhero story where they like, there's these people trapped in a dome. I'm gonna have to go back and reread it because I didn't finish it because it was coming out about when my reading started to slow down. But you know, Jeff Lemire's done some stuff with him, and she did Primordial. Then there was Donny Cates, God Country, which is a phenomenal book. Anyone who's not read that, and if you want to get in the, and that may have been one that I said, if you haven't,
right,
if you've never read comics but you don't like superheroes, read God's Country. Our God Country. That one's really good. East of West is another Image title. Yeah. That's a great one. It's kind of post-apocalyptic, but then you've got like the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. That was a good read. Some of these, I mean, Saga's still going on,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I think so. Actually, I don't know. I can't keep up.
There's so many volumes of it. I mean, that's the thing with some of these creator-owned. I mean... They can go as short as they want once the story's done, or Spawn's still going on. Didn't they just release their, like, 300th
Spawn's issue? Spawn's up to, like, it's past 300 now. You know, the other one that people liked I never read was The Wicked and the Divine.
Yes.
People loved that book. Yeah. I was just like, I never read it.
I never read it. Was Witches an Image title?
I think so.
There's so many. That was a Scott Snyder book.
Yeah, I think it was an Image.
I think I read the first two. Was American Vampire Image? Or was that DC?
Was Vertigo, I think.
Was it DC Vertigo? Yeah. But yeah, so... Yeah, Image is probably... I have written down 1992.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
Mystery solved.
Image is probably... I would agree with you. The one that has the most... They've got the large volume and probably the most popular of all the Image titles just because of some of the home runs they've really hit.
Yeah.
And I think people, I would assume, you tell me if I'm wrong, just because it's creator-owned and you're there with McFarlane and dealing with those guys, it's probably a draw too, right? But yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. For some reason, I have more titles written down for this next one, and maybe it's because they've really started to kind of take off, and that's Boom.
Yeah, Boom. I love Boom.
Boom's got a lot of titles. They did the Firefly series. I don't know if that's still going on.
I don't know, because there's a lot of Firefly stuff out there.
Yeah, but they did Firefly, they did Buffy. One of the newer ones that they did that was wildly successful was Something Is Killing the Children.
Yeah.
By James Tynion. I did not, unfortunately, read that one yet. One that I did read, which was also by James Tynion, was called Wind, which I'm pretty sure I've talked about before in other episodes too, regarding if you want to read comics that don't have superheroes. And I believe they ended up releasing a second arc to that story. The first run was great. Another story I read was Strange Skies. And right now I can't remember who wrote that. But that was, again, set in World War II. And, yeah, that had a nice little twist in there. I won't give too much away, but, you know, Nazis aren't good people.
And, whoa.
I know, hot take.
Hot take on this podcast.
They only find you when you're dead, when they're dead. That is a Al Ewing, which I know we've talked about before.
Love
so that's
Al
a
Ewing.
Sci-fi story. And the premise on that one is you have these harvesters that have ships, and they go out and they harvest materials from dead gods that are just floating out in space, like organs and.
Very Al Ewing.
Yes. It was, again, I've not finished the second arc of that story, but that was a great one. Grant Morrison even had a run, Proctor Valley Road, which I've not read. I've got the graphic novel for that. But yeah, they've done all kinds of things. Colin Bunn's done a lot of stuff with them. The Empty Man. I believe Bone Parish was his. They do Power Ranger stories. I believe they did the Big Trouble in Little China storylines.
Yes, they did.
So anyone who's a Big Trouble in Little China fan like us, they did a continuation of the story, which was great. And then they start doing crossovers, like you had Jack Burton and Snake Plissken.
Snake Plissken, yeah. You have to read, if you like Big Trouble in Little China, which odds are you do, because if you listen to this podcast, because those things just intersect in my mind.
They are on the Venn diagram.
You have to read The Big Trouble in Little China by... Because not only did John Carpenter help write it, but Eric Powell helped write it too.
Yes.
Which we'll get to him in a little bit. But he's the goon. If
he
you're
is the goon.
With that.
But yeah. Oh, it's a great read. Yeah, I enjoyed that very much. Another... Are they still big, IDW? I mean,
they're
still do stuff.
They're not as big that they used to be. But now, the thing with IDW now is it's all, like, licensed comics, isn't it?
Yes. Like, IDW did Transformers.
But they're not doing Transformers anymore.
Not anymore, because it's Robert Kirkman and...
Skybound
with someone, right?
Yeah.
Probably with an Image.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah. So they used to do Transformers.
Yeah.
They used to do G.I. Joe. They don't do G.I. Joe anymore because, again, Skybound is doing that. They used to do Star Trek. Do they still do Star Trek?
I don't
Trek?
Know who's doing Star Trek anymore.
They did Sonic.
Yeah, they're still doing Sonic.
Usagi, Yojimbo.
Which is now moving back to Dark Horse, I believe.
Ah, okay.
Don't quote me on that.
They used to do D&D comics. Don't know if they still do.
Yeah, I don't know.
Godzilla.
Yes.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
That's probably their bread and butter right there.
Teenage
Mutant Ninja Turtles.
So, I don't read a lot of IDW.
I don't either.
I I read Usagi Yojimbo, but what I read was mostly the Dark Horse stuff. I don't know that I've read any of the IDW stuff. Godzilla, some Godzilla comics. I did read the Transformer comics,
yeah.
And I have a bunch of those in my collection. I have not read any of the new Transformers run that Robert Kirkman's team's doing. I've heard good things.
Yeah, I've heard great things about
so,
that.
So we'll move past that because I don't have a lot to say. Yeah. Next is Dark Horse now.
All right, I'm going to say this right now. Dark Horse is my favorite independent company right now. They have really moved into my heart this last 6 months or so. And not just because of stuff that, not really because of I'm super following them right now. I am following them, but like I've just realized like how strong their, like pound for pound for their size, how much they're hitting.
Yeah.
It's really great.
It is. What, I mean, I'm pretty sure I could guess what your favorite Dark Horse title is.
You know, okay. Yeah, I'm going to go ahead and say it's Hellboy, but they have so much to offer, but Hellboy is just so, I mean, it's its own universe within the universe.
Yeah. Yeah. Dark Horse, you're right. They do have a lot of great stuff. Hellboy, of course. They did Sin City.
Yes.
They did the Umbrella Academy,
which is so popular right now.
Which is so big right now. The Witcher. They used to do Star Wars.
Right.
Are they still...
They used to do it, and then they lost it to Marvel, and now it's coming back, I believe.
Yes. I think if I remember correctly, the deal is they're going to get to do them, but Marvel can canonize it, or they can do something where they can have rights to stuff.
Interesting.
I
will say a hot take about this. I think the Star Wars comics in Dark Horse years were way more interesting than they were in Marvel years.
For the most part, I'll say yes. Although the Darth Vader run that Soul did,
yeah,
was pretty darn good.
It's just the.
But overall, yes, the stories were better, and they had an expansive universe.
That was the thing. That was the thing, because when they did Star Wars, they weren't just focusing on one part of Star Wars.
No,
which is the same mistake that the movies make.
Yes,
in my opinion. But when Dark Horse did, they did Star Wars Legacy. Did you ever read that?
No, I haven't.
That book ruled. It was like Luke Skywalker's ancestor. And, like, the Jedi had fallen again, and the universe was in dark times, ruled by the Sith, and his ancestor, Cade Skywalker, did not want to be a Jedi. He was, like, a smuggler. Oh, my God, it was so cool. And, like, just the different characters they introduced and stuff, and, oh, it was so good. And they did High Republic, they did Old Republic, they did New Republic, they did Post-New Republic, and it was just, like, and, you know, to be fair, they had more years.
Yes.
And they also had Star Wars when Star Wars wasn't necessarily cool.
Correct.
So they had more room to work with.
Yep.
But, yeah, I think once Marvel bought him again back, I don't know, it hasn't even been that long since they bought him. Maybe 10 years, if that much. And, yeah, it just didn't gel with me as much. I was like, okay.
Yeah, Marvel has tried to just stay focused on the main characters instead of... And look, some of the stories have been really good. Jason Aaron's Star Wars run was good.
True.
It was a fun read. Charles Soule's Darth Vader I loved. But yeah, it the Dark Horse stuff, you hit it, man.
Well, and that might even be the whole thing with them being an indie publisher versus Marvel being a mainstream company is... What can mainstream readers are going to expect one thing.
Yep.
And then you go to an indie company like Dark Horse and you're like, oh, I can try whatever I want.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they also did The Goon, who I wanted to touch back on for a second because I mentioned Eric Powell. And The Goon is just such... Did you read The Goon?
Yes.
Oh my God, I love The Goon.
Goon's great.
Such a fun series. Now, The Goon moved away from Dark Horse to Albatross Funny Books, which is Eric Powell's own imprint. But now they're coming back to Dark Horse.
Okay.
I think it's both of them are publishing it at the same time, if I'm picking up on what they're putting down, but I'm not totally sure. But if you love dark humor, and you love action, and just violence, The Goon...
Yeah.
The Goon is the book for you. It is... it's got one of my favorite side characters of all time called the Vulture. And he, or no, he's not the Vulture, that's Spider-Man. It's the Buzzard.
The Buzzard, yes.
And he's like, oh, just read the goon. But yeah, Eric Powell did some Godzilla. He did, yep. He did Hillbilly and Little Man Plans. He's great.
Yes. And every once in a while I'll pick up a book and it's like, well, this looks familiar. And then all of a sudden you realize.
Well, and he's got, in what is the word? When you can't be duplicated. Unmistakable art. His art is unmistakable. Like, yes. You cannot mistake it for something.
It's very unique. It's very.
And it's almost always like watercolored kind of.
Yes.
At least the covers are. It's just really good. But then the other one that I would be totally remiss if I did not talk about, because we're both Jeff Lemire mega fans, is Black Hammer.
I've got that written right there, Black Hammer.
Black Hammer is like one of the best superhero series that have come out in the last however long.
Yeah.
In my opinion. It's about, I won't even get into super long what it's about, but just trust me, if you haven't read Black Hammer, read it. I think they're ending it soon.
Yes.
Which is really sad because they could have built a huge dynasty on that like they did Hellboy or...
Well, he writes so that's much.
True.
He has built such a large universe for Black Hammer in such a short amount of time with all the characters and all the side stories. I don't understand how he writes all this. There's clones. Jeff Lemire clones. No, Black Hammer is absolutely amazing. I can't recommend it enough. Another Dark Horse book, though, and I think you and I have talked about this before, but I absolutely love it, but it's also because I love Colin Bunn as Harrow County.
Yes.
Harrow County is absolutely amazing. You have to love horror stuff.
Yeah, and you gotta love it.
And you've gotta love it, but man, Harrow County is...
Who's the artist on that book? Tyler... Crook?
I think,
or is it Cook?
I
think it's Tyler Crook.
I think it is Crook, but...
But man, that art is like...
The art...
And the coloring?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, the stories are there, but man, when you add the colors and the art to that, it is just an experience. Harrow County is not for the weak of heart.
No, not for the faint of stomach either.
Yeah. Oh, but, man.
And you mentioned Umbrella Academy, and they just released their third volume finally after the TV show started, Apocalypse Suite, and now they have, like, short stories from the Umbrella Academy. If you liked the TV show, the book is, like, 10 times better, I would say. Not that the TV show's bad. I couldn't get into it as much as I could get into the book. But the thing is, like, people sleep on Gerard Way. Like, that man can write comics.
Yeah.
He's a little bit my worst enemy in some ways, because he not only succeeded in being a musician, which I never really wanted to be a musician, but like he can do that and he gets to write the Doom Patrol.
Yeah.
And like, to me, I'm like, I think I kind of hate you.
Yeah. Why do you get to do that? I'm trying to think what I read by him, and it wasn't, I've never read the Umbrella Academy, but
oh, really?
I read something by Gerard Way and absolutely loved it. Now I can't think of what it was. Shoot.
Yeah, he wrote some good stuff for DC too, Doom Patrol, and he didn't write Cape Carson, did he? He wrote
Well, you keep talking.
He wrote stuff for the Young Animal imprint, which was like their new Vertigo for a while there. But yeah, so Umbrella Academy is, and the art is by Gabriel Ba, or is it Fabian Moon? They're twins, I think. So I can't ever remember who did. I think it's Gabriel Ba. But yeah, if you like the TV show, check out the books. They are just much better, I think.
Gerard Way, My Chemical Romance. Yeah. Golly, Academy, you keep talking.
Oh, sorry. You're looking up Gerard Way stuff.
I am, because now I'm Oh, you know what it was? Huh. I think it was a Batman story.
Oh.
Batman.
He wrote a Batman story?
No, but I think it was a one-shot, like Gerard Way comics.
He hasn't written too many comics, but he's really good at the weird stuff. You can tell that
He did do Cave Carson.
Okay. You can tell that he grew up reading Grant Morrison, though. Which is, you know, not bad. I think that's pretty, you know, just telling that
Maybe I'm wrong.
But, you know, I'm going to circle back to Hellboy for a second while you're looking there, because that's the thing I can talk about. But Hellboy, the Mignola-verse, is... I mean, that's been going on for, what, 30...
Ooh, a minute.
30-plus years at this point. He's actually one creator that I got to meet, which was really awesome. But I didn't really get to talk to him or anything. I just got to have him sign a book. But I listened to him talk one time at the Wexner Center in Marysville, in Columbus. That was really cool. But yeah, Hellboy is, like, a huge part of Dark Horse Comics. And it's just, like... ever expanding, like the actual story of Hellboy is over, like in it's come to a conclusion, but they are filling in stuff that happened before the end of the story.
Yeah,
so like it came to a definitive end. Have you read it?
No.
Okay, it comes to an end.
Okay,
and it is an end, but they are like, okay, but now what happened to Hellboy in 1956? What happened to Hellboy in 1961? You know, stuff like that. And even before then, because they're doing Lobster Johnson stuff, they're doing Witchfinder stuff, which Lobster Johnson is a personal hero of mine. I love Lobster Johnson. I just think he's the most outrageous character. And Hellboy loves him, too. But yeah, I don't know. If you've never read Hellboy, good luck. There's so much of it. There's so much of it. Just read from the beginning of Hellboy and read the Hellboy and the BPRD stuff, and then... if you like it, fill in the universe with the other stuff, which you will like it because it's great.
I think it is great. I actually have the volume one omnibus digitally. Have not attempted to read it yet because it is a lot.
It is. It's its own universe. Like it's a universe within a universe, like of the Dark Horse stuff.
Yeah, it's great.
So, yeah.
Oh gosh. Dark Horse, I do want to point out, they used to own Conan.
Yeah, and you know what? I haven't read a lot of Marvel Conan, but the Dark Horse Conan ruled.
Yes, it did.
It was so good.
Again, it Marvel's kind of tamer.
Marvel isn't, and maybe it's because, so for people who don't know, Marvel owned Conan originally.
Yes.
And then Dark Horse owned it, and then Marvel owned it again.
Yep.
But the thing is, with the Conan from the Dark Horse, they were adapting all the Robert E. Howard stories. And Marvel's not doing that,
no,
I don't think.
No, they're just kind of doing their own thing. He's traveling through time. He's, what were they, the Savage Defenders or the something or other? It was him and the Punisher. And
Elektra.
So they also used to own Aliens and Predator.
Yeah.
Now Marvel owns both of them, too.
Boo. I'm gonna be dead in a week for that. Like Marvel's gonna hear
Marvel's
me.
Big
Marvel's gonna come after me.
Kevin Feige. Is gonna come after you. But yeah, Dark Horse has got some great stuff. Oh, Masters of the Universe too. They still do Masters of the Universe. So, which, for better or worse.
And I'll give a free plug here. I have a friend who just got published by Dark Horse.
Really?
Yes. Patrick Lay just published a book called, I believe it's called Death Strikes. Let me look, it's up here. Death Strikes, the Emperor of Atlantis. And it is about a real-life opera that was written in a concentration camp. So they adapt the opera into a comic.
Wow.
So that just got released by Dark Horse.
Well, that's cool.
I'm going to pick up a copy. And I'm so upset because he is, at the time of this recording, signing at the Laughing Ogre this weekend. And that's my time to work.
Oh.
So I can't go.
Well, what time's he going to be there?
I think like 1 to 3.
I don't know that I can get there in time.
Yeah.
I get off at 2.
Yeah.
Mmm.
He's not there for very long.
Man.
But yeah, so that's cool.
That is cool. Yeah. I'll have to check that out. I'll grab a copy too. That's neat. All right. From Dark Horse. I wrote a note here. Did Archie.
Yeah.
Is Archie... he's not on Dark Horse, is
no,
he?
I wrote that because we were talking, and I was like, are we going to talk about Archie?
Oh!
But I just wrote it at the top of the page.
Well, who does Archie?
Archie does Archie.
Yeah, Archie does Archie. He's his own thing,
Archie's his own thing. I love Archie Comics.
Archie's great.
I think Archie Comics is some of the best comics ever made.
They have... so, look, you know, and I bet some people are going to sit there and think, oh, well, Archie isn't that, you know, cotton candy and bubblegum and... read some of the newer stuff.
Yeah.
Mark Wade's, his Archie run was amazing.
Yeah, his was just enough Archie and just enough realism that it really lent itself. And of course, right after that, they started making Riverdale, so that was kind of out the window.
Yeah. Don't watch Riverdale. If that's your expectation for Archie, then okay. But they did some cool stuff. They did Archie Afterlife, which I absolutely love. I've got that over there on the shelf. So then they'd start doing some, you know, fun stories. There's Archie versus Sharknado.
Archie versus Predator.
Yes, that was going to be my next one. Archie versus Predator
which is legit one of the best comics I ever read in my life.
It's fantastic.
But it's like only if you're a Predator fan.
Yes.
And if you're an Archie fan.
Yeah.
Because there's stuff that they quote from the original Predator that's just like...
Yep. It's like, God love them. Those are great.
They just know what they're doing. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, there's some guy in Marysville, Ohio that really likes Predator, and he really likes Archie. Well, heck, let's give him both.
Let's do both. Why not? Yeah, it works. It is so great. Yeah, Archie's amazing. And then they do the Sabrina comics. What were those called?
Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
Yeah. They did a newer one.
Of Sabrina.
Yeah. That one was good. Let's see. After Shark? I'm thinking of Sharknado. Yeah. After Shock Comics, which I don't know. Are they still publishing? They were when we did this, but I thought maybe they weren't anymore.
I don't know.
But they did some interesting... you know what? No, they're still doing stuff because I think I just got something from them. They did Rough Riders, which was a great story run. They took, it was Teddy Roosevelt, Thomas Edison, Jack Johnson, I think.
Oh.
Oh, gosh, who else was it? Calamity Jane or Annie Oakley? Annie Oakley.
Yeah.
But anyways, just took these random people and put them on a team together, and they're fighting these supernatural things, and but that was fun. Shipwreck, which was by I shouldn't have mentioned it because now I didn't have the notes on there, because when I made these notes I had just finished reading Shipwreck. Phil Hester did that. That was a fun story. Undone by Blood is another good one. Nuclear Family, which is a... Oh, what was her name? She actually was a guest on Alter Ego Comics.
Oh, yeah.
Live Sale.
You told me about that. Was it Becky Cloonan?
No. Is there a Williams? Stephanie Williams?
Oh, yeah, that sounds right. Stephanie Williams. I think she's a writer.
We'll go with Stephanie Williams, but I'm not sure. But yeah. Those are the ones that pop out at me. Colin Bunn does some, like, one-shots. He did After Dark, and he did 10 Years to Death, I think? After Dark's definitely by him. But, so yeah, Aftershock does a lot of interesting stuff. But yeah, I don't have a lot to say about them.
Yeah, I never read any Aftershock, really, so you have to remember that, like, my...
Well, you just love Dark Horse so much that
I don't have time to read anything but Dark Horse anymore. So
I wrote them down.
Yeah, I see this.
Yeah. Only because, you know, we've got to be thorough.
Yeah.
So there's a publisher called Xenoscope. Don't let your kids buy anything from them.
Yeah.
Their big thing, I would say, is Grimm Fairy Tales.
Right.
It's not that they definitely lean hard into the over-sexualization of things. Is that a good way to...
That's the best way to put... The most tame way to put it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's all I'm going to say. Oni Press.
Yeah, Oni Press, yeah.
I've got them, so they obviously did Scott Pilgrim, right?
Yes, I believe so.
I believe they still do the Rick and Morty stuff.
Oh, are they still making a comic?
I think they, what they do now is they release like a bunch of like miniseries or one shots. I don't know if they still do it or not. There was Invader Zim, I know they did. And I think this was a comic you recommended to me. It was either you or Bobby when I first started going into Pack Rat. It was Letter 44.
That would be Bobby. He was, like, super into that book.
Yeah. It was actually really good. But, yeah, Oni Press is they are very, very small, yeah. I would say. I also have Ahoy written. I don't have any written down, any titles for them. I know I have some Ahoy comics, but I couldn't tell you who they are. But they're obviously small, too. I do know I wrote these ones down because they were big when we recorded this. AWA, which stands for Artists, Writers, and Artisans.
Oh.
Yeah. But they're another one that it's all artist-owned, and they create their things. So Michael J. Straczynski has created a universe in there. Oh my gosh, what is the name of his? It's the... The Resistance Moths. He also did another one. But then there's other titles. Grendel, Kentucky. Knighted was another one. And that was basically a guy who... I'm pretty sure he got superhero powers. And so he started using them. Year Zero, Sacrament. That was that... Sacrament was the space horror story that I think I lent to John. And that was sent... That was set in the way, way future. Mm. But, so... There were still colonies that... that followed religion, and that he was a priest that gave communion to these different communities, but he was haunted by this exorcism from this demon and had to fight them again. It was actually a really good story. Peter Milligan,
yeah,
wrote it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, you told me about that because it's like really violent.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, it was a great story. Again, not for the faint of heart. Then there's Valiant.
Valiant had a big resurgence like 10 years ago.
They did. And they do... The big ones I had written down for them was Exo Manowar.
Yeah.
Which they still do like Free Comic Book Day
releases
for him. Archer and Armstrong was another big book. Bloodshot is probably...
Well, they made a movie of Bloodshot, so people probably know him.
Yeah. One that I've read before and I actually really like is Eternal Warrior. That one was an interesting one. He's an immortal, I guess, is the best way to put it. And, yeah. That's all I got about that.
Yeah. There's also Quantum and Woody.
Oh.
You know them?
I do not.
They're like brothers, I think.
Okay.
One of them's like a superhero. The other one's... Maybe they both have superpowers. I can't remember. It's been a while. But when I got out of college, you know, 10 years ago.
Oh, you poor soul.
Hey, let me have it. they were just like relaunching the Valiant universe, I think. Yeah. And it was like a huge deal for a while there. I don't know if they're still what they're doing nowadays. I see, the problem is I don't go to comic shops anymore.
Yeah. Well, and when I do, I don't see that. That's more, I see them in the dollar bins, right? I don't come across them. I don't go to bigger comic shops anymore. Yeah. So, you know, it's the shop I go to in Lima, Alter Ego. I'll give them a free plug because I love them. And they'll probably never hear this. But, you know, they'll focus more on the DC, the Marvel. They have Image. They'll have some IDW, some Dark Horse, maybe some Aftershock, but they don't go too deep because, look, there's just so much out there, and you've only got so much space on your shelves. I know World Greatest carries a little bit more. There was a shop that, unfortunately, it's closed, Comic Town. They carried practically every publisher.
Wow.
It was mind-numbing to see all the different ones. So it's... there's just so much out there, and then you still, and then you've got even smaller.
Yeah.
I didn't put in here because there's Scout Comics. They still put stuff out. I know that because I'm pretty sure I bought something recently from Scout Comics. And then you've got self-publishers.
Yeah. I was going to say.
Yourself.
I want to give a shout-out to all my small press independent friends out there who are doing the grind.
Yeah.
Making their own comics.
Exactly. It's tough work out there. But what's cool is you can go to things, and I know we've talked about it on the show before. There's a show in Columbus called Space that you can go to, and you can meet the people that self-publish and putting out their own stuff. What does Space stand for again?
Small Press and Alternative Comics Expo.
There we go.
I believe.
You believe. It sounds good. Yeah. It works. But yeah, so I mean, I actually was at, I'm going to give another free plug, Dragon's Lair.
Yeah.
In the PAL area the other day, and I picked up a comic, and I'm pretty sure it's over there, but it was a Western comic. And I'm just like, well, this looks pretty cool. The main character is a black woman who's this figure that goes around and is protecting people, and then they've got their little community, and it was a really neat story because it kind of goes between it goes between the past and the present. So the story's being told from one of her friends' perspective and trying to keep her legacy alive and what she did for everyone. It was a really neat story. I enjoyed it, and I wish I could remember the author.
Yeah.
But it just, that's kind of the cool thing about going into little shops like that, is that they'll have little nuggets of small-time publishers or independent so that you can experience them. Right. So...
Well, and if you go, here's a plug. If you go to the Laughing Ogre in Columbus, they have a wall of local stuff.
As the one great thing. I mean, there's a lot of great things about the Laughing Ogre. That is one of them because they really try to support the local people.
One day I will work up the courage to ask them if I can put my books there.
Ooh.
But I haven't yet because I feel like the people who do that kind of know them better.
Yes.
I don't know if that's true, but that's just how I feel.
You know what? You don't know until you try.
That's true.
You can't fail or succeed until you try.
Right.
So why not? You take them a couple of books, show them what you've got.
Yeah.
What? Yeah, absolutely. Take a Midnight Sun, man.
Yeah, Midnight Sun.
Oh, I love it. But yeah, so are there any that you can think of that I missed from my notes from a year ago?
No, that was a pretty good list. You know.
So besides Hellboy.
Yeah.
If you're going to suggest an independent title to someone to read, what are you telling someone to read?
The first things that come to my mind are Chew.
Okay.
Which is good because it's over, so you can read the whole thing.
Yep.
Black Hammer, which is almost over.
Yeah.
Sin City. You have to read Sin City if you're going to read indie comics.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying not to just do Black Horse or Dark Horse stuff, but... And the Goon, you know, you have to read the Goon because the Goon is
great.
So, what about you though?
That is a great question. Is Bone independent?
Yes, Bone is independent. That's Cartoon Books, which is Jeff Smith's.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, read Bone.
Bone would be up there for me. I would say Saga, but I never finished it.
Right.
Saga is immense.
It's a saga.
It is a saga, but I read like the first, I think, three books into Saga and loved it. I can't speak as to whether it still is. I will agree with you. Chew was a great fun read.
Yeah.
Black Hammer is amazing. Any of Jeff Lemire's independent stuff.
Yeah, read Essex County.
Essex County.
Or Underwater Welder, which is a graphic novel. So yes. That's contained.
Those were both good. Harrow County, man.
Harrow County.
But you have to like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
If you go into it and you're not big into horror, don't read that then. If you're more into fantasy and light stuff, then man, I can't recommend Wind enough. And that's WYND. That was such a great read. I enjoyed it so much. You know what I didn't talk about? I Hate Fairyland.
Yeah, I was just going to talk about that a little bit.
That was Image, right?
Yeah, that's Image.
Then you got to read it. Yeah. You know what? I Hate Fairyland on Image. You got to read that.
Yeah.
Because that is just so... it's just so different. So irreverent. I love how Scotty Young... I mean, it's just... He created his own curse word language, too, which I just love. And that character, she is just great. And I read that just out of boredom one day. Yeah. I was for my old job, I was staying in a hotel, and I had the Kindle, and I'm like, well, let me give this a read, because my buddy Steve was saying, oh, you got to give this a go. And yeah, I ended up burning through those issues. That is a great read. And it's just fun. and it's goofy violence, right?
Right, yeah, I mean, it's cartoon violence.
It's cartoon violence, so it's not like, oh my God, but you're just like, this is just so wild.
Yeah.
And that is over. So I mean you can read that. So yeah. Wind for fantasy. Harrow County for horror.
Yeah.
Anything from Jeff Lemire that's independent. And then, yeah, I'll go I Hate Fairyland. I can't believe I forgot that.
Yeah.
Although, I'm pretty sure, did we talk about I Hate Fairyland for non-superhero comics that I'd recommend?
That so recommend,
there we go.
Yeah.
But yeah, I can't believe I didn't have that
written down.
I can't
imagine we didn't talk about it.
Yeah. And God Hates Astronauts. Because that's not a super long...
No, that's only like 2 volumes.
Yeah.
Well, technically 3 volumes, I think.
But that's fun. But yeah, no, Harrow County. Oh my goodness. I think that was the first thing I read by Colin Bunn that got me into him. And then Yeah.
There's some really great indie stuff out there. You just have to look for it a little bit. But like if you have Hoopla or I was gonna say Comixology, but I won't.
You can't.
I can't.
Yep. What's the other one that you turned me on to? What's the other library one you told me
Libby?
About? Libby.
Libby doesn't really do comics, though.
No, you're right. That's for audiobooks and stuff, right?
Yeah. Hoopla has all the comics.
Yeah.
And if you go onto Hoopla, you'll find... you can sort it by publisher and stuff, and you'll find all kinds of great stuff. And so...
And if you've got an Amazon account, you can... And if you're a Prime member, you can go into there and find stuff. But, yeah. Comixology is missed.
Oh, I miss it, yeah, every day.
Yeah. But, the nice thing about independence is if they've got a story and it's just a short one, I mean, the independents will do it because, you know, hey, whereas with DC and Marvel, they usually at least try to do the 25 issues or it's got to be part of this and that. But also, again, with DC Black Label, they're doing the shorter stories, but again, it's usually their characters. What was the one story I really loved by Colin Bunn that he did? I think it was called Cold Spots. And that was a great read. Oh, you know what? What was the one story I read, Reborn, that... was that Mark Waid? You finish off. I'm going to look that up really quick. Because that was a great sci-fi story. And I'm pretty sure that was on Image.
Well, we, as always, want to know what you guys are into as readers.
Mark Millar.
Oh, yeah. One of the Marks.
Yeah, and Capullo did the art.
Oh, really?
And that was on... Yes, keep going. I'm sorry.
So we want to know what indie comics you guys are into, you listeners are into, because I'm sure we missed...
A ton.
There's...
We've talked about how we probably need to do just an episode focused on Image comics.
Yeah.
Because there's just so much there. Because we didn't even talk about Savage Dragon.
Right.
Which was one of their first ones.
Their first ones. Still going on today, yeah. I believe.
So, I mean, there's just so much with Image. But, yeah, Reborn was on Image. Mark Millar, Capullo. That was a great story. Yeah. I enjoyed that very much. Yeah. But yeah, what Image comic or what indie comics do you guys read, if you read them?
Yeah, and if not, what indie comics have we convinced you to maybe check out?
Yeah, if you want a recommendation, shoot us a message. And how would they do that?
They would find us on every social media, although I got locked out of our Twitter. So
you did?
I had to re-download Twitter, and I don't know the password.
Oh, for it, no. So. Well, I guess you can't get us on the X.
X. So
Facebook and Instagram?
Yeah, so I'll try to reclaim our Twitter at some point.
Oh, that's funny.
But, like, I had to re-download everything, and I was like,
oh, darn.
So.
That's Elon.
Yeah.
You know what? We said something about him. Probably said something
they didn't like.
Here we go. Gosh darn it. We're about to take on a billionaire.
Oh boy.
Here we go. We're the heroes now.
That's right.
Oh lordy. All right. Well, hey, I got nothing else.
That's it.
That was, I'm sure, almost completely different from the first time we recorded this. So. Awesome. All right. Well, yeah, hit us up on Facebook and Instagram. Let us know what indie comics you like. That we didn't talk about, and I guess we'll see you next time around. Stay nerdy.